Okay, we're beginning here on Kuf Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Amafshit bebehema ubechaya bitahura ubetemeah." So we're talking about here someone who's flaying the animal. They're skinning the animal, whether it's a behema or a chaya, or tehora or tmeah, kosher or non-kosher animal, performed shchita on the animal. So with a tehora, there is no tumah involved. With a tmeah, non-kosher animal, there's tumat nevela. The reason for the Torah and Tmeah here is we're going to talk about conveying Tumah. So when the animal is Tahor and had a Shechita, we're going to talk about the Mafshit. The person who's doing the Hafshata is Tameh, and therefore he could be Mitameh, the animal that is being Mafshit. On the other hand, Bitmeah, it's the other way around. Bitmeah means a non-kosher animal. Even if it was Nishchat, it's a Nevela. It has Tumat Nevela. And therefore the Mafshit who's Tahor could become Tameh, Ayudei, this Behema. Bidaka ubagasa, whether it's a heavy-duty animal or a light animal, doesn't matter. All of these, lishtiach, if he's using it to make a throw, using it for his bed, for his couch, that's what he wants to flay the skin for, then kedei achiza. The amount is kedei achiza, which will be discussed in the Gemara, but that'll be a chibur. The kedei achiza will be a chibur to make a yad to connect it, a conduit of tumah between the behema and the mafshit. Because we know that a yad, even though it's not mitzteref, nevertheless, it is a conduit both to be mitameh and to be mitameh. So both of those directions, it can work as a conduit, but that's up to a kedei achiza. We'll discuss that in the Gemara. That type of hafshata, as Rashi explains over here, the mafshito pashut. It's a simple hafshata, kederach shanu osim, the way that we do it. And you can see here in the picture, the way is that they slice a clear slice down the belly of the animal. There's a clear slice all the way down on the vertical slice down the animal. And then you peel away the skin to create the shtiach, because you've sliced it down the middle. And then if you pull it off around the animal, you'll now have a throw from the skinning of this animal. Now there's another way to do hafshata. And that's the next case, Olech Chemet. He does it for a flask. Anshi Afshita Tachazet. Then, until he removes the skin around the ribs, it's not considered to be separated at all. Now, they can do it in one of two ways. We're going to see in a second. We're going to talk about the first one. She started from the neck. The difference between this Hafshata and the other is, in the Hafshata that we were talking about before, you're going to get a single layer of skin. You sliced it down the vertical of the animal. When the animal's hanging down its belly, you sliced it all the way down. Then you peel away the skin around, you're going to get a throw. In the case of a chemet, you're looking to create a flask. Something that has two sides to it. Something that enwraps. Rashi says that in their day they used it for devash, for the storing of honey. Obviously in the time of the Gemara they used it for wine. So there, what you do is you peel away the skin, you cut across the horizontal. You cut away the skin around the neck. And then you start rolling down the skin. You peel it away. Equivalent if someone was taking off their shirt. When they take off their shirt, they're lifting up their shirt and pulling it off. It comes off inside out when you pull off your shirt. That's what you're going to do with the skin now. You're going to peel it off in a way that it remains a circle. That it remains in the form of the circle. And then you'll seal the bottom and that'll create the flask that you need. So that's called Hafshatat Achemet. Now when it comes to the chazeh, the area around the ribs, as Rashi points out, that's the hardest part to do this type of hafshata. This type of flaying is very difficult to do around the chest area. Therefore, if you start from the neck, it's considered a chubar, it's considered attached, until you pass through the area of the chazeh, the chest. Because until you pass that area, we don't consider it as if you've got enough that it'll go easily. Afterwards, it'll just pull away easily. But now, there's another way to do this, which is hamargil. For sure, the word is regil. Hamargil is he does hafshata from the leg side instead of the head side. So this is the same type of hafshata that we're talking about in the previous statement, which is like the pulling off of the shirt. It's pulling off the skin where it comes off inside out. But instead of starting from the neck, he starts at the legs, near the knees, and starts peeling it down. Over here as well, kulau chibur l'tuma, l'tamei or l'tamei. Over there, it will remain a chibur l'tuma all the way until it's off. Why is that? Because here, instead of the chazeh, the chest being the first area that you pass, it will be the last area you pass. And since that most difficult area is all the way at the end, the skin will remain or classified as mechubar until you clear the chest area. Once you clear the chest area, it's off entirely. So because of that, it's kulo chibur l'tuma litamei v'litamei. Again, we know that that means litamei v'litamei means that you have a chibur of a yad, that it functions as a yad. Or shalat zavar, the skin around the neck, biochan and menuri omer inu chibur, it's not considered to be a chibur to the animal. Kamirumim chibur adjiv shitet kulo. It's still considered to be a chibur until it's removed. And we'll see in the Gemara what exactly their machloket revolves around. So now the Gemara asks, based on the Mishnah, it says that the skin, when you're flaying the skin, say we did it in the first manner, which is you sliced it on the vertical all the way down, and now you're peeling away the skin to make the throw, it says up to a kedei achiza is considered a yad. Mikan veilech. What happens if you have more than kedei achiza? Kedei achiza is the amount that it would take for you to grasp with. When your hand, you can pull the skin with that. So now once you pass that point where you have a grasp, what's the din? My. So Amar Rav. Rav says it is tahor amushat. It's totally tahor. Now Rav believes over here that anything that is separated, once the skin is already far enough off that you can get a kedei achiza on it, it's no longer considered a yad, and it's obviously not a shomer, because it's not on the basar anymore. It's not a yad anymore, because a yad is only classified as a yad if it can be used functionally to pick up the item that it's being a yad for. Now, what is this a yad for? It's a yad for the behemah that's there. So once you get the skin off far enough, you're no longer going to pick the animal up by that skin anymore. If you pick it up by the skin, it's going to rip away. So it's no longer a yad for the basar. So that means it's not a shomer, and it's not a yad. But what Rav does agree with is that the points that are still attached, that still mechubar, they are classified as a shomer. Mechiburo veilech, from the point that is still attached, that will be classified as a shomer, because it's still around the flesh, and it's protecting the flesh, so that will be a shomer. So you have this point at which you pass the kedei achiza, by which any of the skin that's already flayed is nothing. It's not a yad, it's not a shomer. And the skin that remains attached is a shomer because it's around the basar. There's one nafkamina, they both act as conduits for tumah, the big nafkamina between a yad and a shomer, aside from definition, where you have to define them and how they function, but the most important difference is whether they're mitzareif. Are they mitzareif to make up the shi'ur kebeitza? So by a shomer it is mitzareif, by a yad it's not mitzareif.
Yeah. Right.
Peace, then it loses its status of yad, yeah. I mean, it won't become tahor. If it became tameh, it won't be tameh, but it won't function as a yad anymore. Because the kedei achiza, you could still pick up the animal with. But as soon as the skin gets further away, it's going to start to tear away, and you won't be able to hold the animal. Ravasi amar, tevach hasamuch lebasar tameh. Ravasi says that the tevach that's closest to the flesh will always remain as a conduit, as a yad. Meaning, here, just for example, Rav Asi is talking about a case of a nevela. By a case of nevela, as you peel the skin away, the skin loses its status of nevela. That's what we saw in the previous Mishnah. That if you take the skin, li'ibud, that it's no longer a nevela, because it's no longer like the basar, it becomes separate from the nevela. So here, as you peel it away, the first tefach that you have closest to the basar, that will remain tameh, because that is a yad. Why is that a yad? Because with that, you will rip away the remainder of the skin. Rabbi Yassi's definition of yad is different. He's not saying it's a yad to lift the behemah up. It's a yad that makes it functional to rip away the remainder of the skin, or the shomer that's left behind. So that will function as a yad. But above that area, the area that's beyond a tefach, close to the flesh, that you're not going to use, you're not going to hold on to that to rip it away. That's too far away. You're going to be close to the skin to get leverage to pull it away. You'll get the tefach that's close by and you use that to rip. And that will remain tameh as a yad, or the other way around, if the animal person's tameh, and anyone else tahor, that still functions as a yad to be a conduit for tumah. So may tameh, hamafshit kishur azeh, someone who takes off this shiur, the shiur being kedei achiza, mikan veilech, hanogea b'mushat, tohor. Someone who touches any of the area that is already removed is tohor. So what do you, this sounds exactly like the position of Rav. So my lav, afilu b'tevach hasamuch lebasar, and this will be like Rav, lo, davar mitevach hasamuch lebasar. Yeah, anything that's mufshat, except for that tevach that's closest to the basar, that's not so far-fetched reading, because remember, it's kedei achiza, is what's considered tameh. So the kedei achiza will always remain tameh. Mikan veilech means beyond the kedei achiza. So tashma. Be'or shekeneged basar tameh. So or that is opposite the flesh is tameh, which is what we just spoke about before. The skin that sits on top of the flesh remains a shomer. It's a shomer, then it could be a conduit for tumah. So therefore, or shekeneged basar tameh, ha tefach hasamuch basar tahor, the skin that's already pulled away, that's no longer keneged basar, that should be classified as tahor. Again, this will be a question on Rabbi Asi. He says, no, you don't have to read that. Tana, kol tefach hasamuch the basar, or shekeneged basar karile. That first tefach that is already peeled away, the Tana calls that, or that is close to the basar. That's still skin on the flesh. I mean, skin on the flesh is definitely the stuff that's still attached. But even the first tefach that is detached away from that, also we classify as being or that's keneged abasar, because it's still functioning along with the remaining or that is still attached. And therefore, it will be classified as ayad, right, Tashma? So we have now the Tosefta, mafshid be'ema, ubechaya, betora, betmeya, betaka, bekaza, the shtiach, the achiza, tefach, hasamuch, lebasar, tahor. So this is the Tosefta that is of our Mishnah, but it has one additional line on it. Instead of saying just Kedei Achiza, then it has an additional line which says V'tevach HaSamuch LeBasar Tahor. Well, that sounds exactly like Rav again. It says that once you have Kedei Achiza, after that, everything becomes Tahor, even the Tevach HaSamuch LeBasar. Again, sounds like Rav, not like Rabbi Asi. So it says, HaKubai Skinan, what are we dealing with over here? V'tevach Rishon. Over there, we're talking about the first tefach. Because by the first tefach, as you start to peel away the skin, when you have the first tefach, this is the first tefach that you peeled away, over there, it's not considered to be a yad. There, you can't use that in order to be a yad. As Rashi points out over here, that even after you've done tefachayim, which we'll see in a second, even after you've done two tefachim, you still do not have enough leverage in order to peel away the skin. You'll still use the knife to peel away the skin. Until you reach three tefachim, you won't be able to get enough weight from the skin itself to help you in tearing it away. So the first tefach, and even for the first two tefachim, as you pull it away, you can't just grab onto the skin and pull. You still have to use the knife to slice it out. Once you've reached three tefachim, what you'll do is you'll grab the skin close to the basar, the tefach hasamuch the basar, and you'll start pulling. But in addition to your pulling, you'll have the weight of the skins, the two tefachim that are before that are pulling with you, and that'll give you enough leverage to pull away the skin. You won't need a knife anymore. So that's why it says over here, the tefach hasamuch the basar tahor, that's talking about the first tefach. Not the first tefach next to the basar, but the first tefach that you began to flay the animal. That first tefach that you take away, that is always done with the knife, not by pulling. So there is no yad in that case, because you're not using the skin to pull away. On the other hand, once you reach beyond that, you reach a point or a threshold where the pulling away and the weight of the skin will help you so that the skin now becomes a yad. And where's that? That threshold is at three tefachim. Once you pass the two tefachim mark, already there at three tefachim, then you can pull it away and it'll work. The weight of the skin will help you.
No mind is read the end of that raisa the way we first understood it and the way we now understand it.
Okay, sure. Just to know, just to make it more confusing, the Rabbeinu Chananu has a girsa in this Tosefta that a tefach hasamuch lebasar is tamei, and it's really a question on Rav, not on Rabbi Asi. But leaving that aside, Tosfot discusses that just so you're aware of that. Tashma, hamafshi beima b'chayav torah b'tmeya b'taka b'kasa l'shtiyach k'dei achiza, that's our Mishnah. It's identical to our Mishnah, which is that up to k'dei achiza is classified as being a yad. Now for Rav, that means k'dei achiza is only in the first tefach that you take away when you're first grabbing it. After that, if you have more than that, it's no longer a yad because you can't pick up the behema with it anymore. It's irrelevant that you can use it to rip away the skin. That's Rav. Rabbi Asi says no. The kedei achiza remains to the whole animal. As you flay the animal, whatever is that last tefach that's closest to the basar, that is considered kedei achiza and will remain a yad for the skin. Then, the next line, which is the problematic line, is b'tefach hasamuch lebasar. The tefach that's closest to the basar is tahor. Now that sounds exactly like Rav. Rav says only in the first instance, when you have a g'day achizah, is it considered to be a yad? Because there you can pick up the behema. Once you get beyond that point, the skin is too far removed from the behema. If you pick it up by the skin or rip the skin away, it won't pick up the behema. Therefore, it's not a yad. That's exactly what it says here. Tefach ha-samuch le-basar. That tefach that's closest to the basar that you would grab to pull away the skin from the animal, that remains tahor. It's no longer a yad. That's a problem for a Bayasi. The answer of the Gemara is that you have to talk about two different instances. There are two different types of tefach hasamuch lebasar. There's a tefach hasamuch lebasar in the beginning of the flaying process. That tefach in the beginning of the flaying process, even Rabbi Yassi agrees is tahor, because you can't grab onto it. If you don't have enough skin off yet, in order to pull the skin so that it'll give you leverage in removing the remaining skin, you still have to use the knife. You have to use the knife and slice under the skin to remove it. Basically what he's saying is that it's not called a kedei achiza yet. Kedei achiza only starts from the third tefach. The first two tefachim are not classified as kedei achiza because you can't rip them with your hands. You have to slice with the knife underneath to get the skin away. Only after you've gotten away two tefachim, in that third tefach do you get a kedei achiza where you can start pulling it away. So that redefines where kedei achiza is. And in addition to that, it tells us that those first two tefachim are tahor, even according to Rabbi Asi, because you can't hold on to them. They can't be function as a yad. They're not strong enough. You don't have enough leverage with them to function as a yad. Now, this will be true according to Rabbi Asi. It may be according to Rav that he doesn't have this difference between one and three. But according to the Rach's Girsa, that this is a question on Rav, Rav will have this definition as well. He'll have these three tefachim because here will be a problem for Rav, and therefore the next line in the Gemara will refer to Rav and not to Rabbi Asi. And that is, Kama Gedei Achiza. How much is a Gedei Achiza? Gemara says a tefach. V'atan yitfachayim. Then we have a braita that says it's two tefach. Amrabai, tefach kaful. When we said a tefach, we meant the double tefach. Sometimes a tefach means two tefach, v'tfachayim. So the tefach here doesn't mean a pure tefach, it means a double tefach, meaning tefachayim. And that's how I was saying to you before, that the first two tefach for the tefachayim arishonim are not classified as kedei achiza. Now again, if we read it in our Girsa, it sounds like that's only according to Rav Asi. It's not clear that according to Rav that would be the case. If you read like the Girsa of the Rav, then this would be referring to Rav. What is considered kedei achiza according to Rav is until you reach that point of tefachayim. So now in Hotom, the Mishnah and Kelim. Talit shitchil balakor'ah. A talit that you begin to rip. Kevin shinikra ruba. From the point that you've already torn a robe of it. Shuv enu chibur. It's no longer considered attached. Utehora. And now it becomes tahor. So what we're dealing with here is something, a talit, which is very similar to a kli cheres. A kli cheres that becomes tameh. How are you mitaheret from being its tumah? You break it. You break the kli cheres. Now it's tahor from the tumah it has. The shards that are left from that kli cheres, they can now, if they are functional, be mekabel tuma mikanu lahaba, because they become a new keli. It's a new keli. This new keli, if it's functional, can then be mekabel tuma. Now, there's a machloket in the Gemara where it has to do ke'en melachtan or not in ke'en melachtan, but leaving that aside, just a basic principle that when you break it, you lose the tuma, and then the new pieces can now accept tuma mikanu lahaba. And what we're going to describe here, I'm going to keep it as simple as possible, we'll use Rashi's chat over here. The Gemara back on Ayin Bedam with Bet, we discussed this Gemara from a different standpoint. There it has to do with Tumat Midras, and there was Machloket Rashi and Tosafot, a very difficult Gemara over there. I'm going to leave that aside right now, just focus on what we have here, which is then Rashi says, if I have a talit, a large beged, that became Tamei. So now I want to be mitaheret midei Tuma. So what can I do? I can rip it in half. Then when I rip it in half, it now loses its functionality. It's no longer going to be used as a talit because I ripped it. So now, Rashi says, Afal bishyesh bishireha shalosh al shalosh. Even though it has 3x3 etzba'ot in the remaining part, we know that the minimum cloth to be mekamel tuma is 3x3 etzba'ot. Ve'adayin ru'uya lekabel tuma. Even though the other half, the two halves that you left behind, are ru'uya to mekabel tuma, tehora mi tumata rishona. What you've done is you removed the original tumah. But we're assuming that it can't function as a talit anymore. So then it loses the tumah rishona. Dumya the kli cheres. The shvirato mitarato ushvara mikabelim tumah. So mikano lava and hochanami, these two pieces can be mikabel tumah once you've ripped the talit. But they lose the original tumah that's there. Rashi at the end here already introduces what some of this problem is. He mentions that we saw earlier in the Masechta on Ayin Bedam Adbet that Shlosha Shlosha Sheyad Tamei Midras Umagazav. If you have a 3x3 tefach cloth that was Tamei Tumat Midras and Magahazav, it had two tumot to it. V'chilko. And then he rips it in half. Tohor min ha-midras. It loses its tumat midras. V'atein tamei magazav. But the magazav remains. Alma tumat shlosha shlosha dechazilei lo bat laminei. You don't remove it. By ripping it, you don't remove it. So why does it work over here? So here he's saying, well, we had a case back in Ayin Bedam Bed. We had 3x3 tefachim, and there where you ripped it in half, the Tumat Midras left, because the minimum shi'ur for Tumat Midras is 3x3 tefachim. But Tumat Maga can be even to 3x3 as vote. So he says, yeah, it loses its Tumat Midras, but the Tumat Maga stays. So why don't we say the same thing here about a Talit? You ripped the Talit, it had a Tumat Maga. You rip it now, so the Tumat Maga is still there. Or it had Tumat Midras. The Midras is gone, but the Tumat Maga should remain. Why is our case here different than the case on Ayin Bedam Abed? So he says, Hatam tu dahabiyale bet tumult. That's just over there, it had two tumult. Midras chamura, the Tumat Maga kala. Over there it had two tumult. They had both Tumat Midras, which is chamur, and Tumat Maga, which is kala. So ahanyale chaluka, the ripping works, levatel mimenu Tumat Midras. Gets rid of the Midras. Betulo chazile, because it's no longer tumat midras, because it's less than 3x3 tefachim. Upashola tumat maga, the chazir shlosh et vot. But tumat maga remains because up to 3x3 it's vot, it's still tamei tumat maga. Aval hocha chad shma hu kula tumah. Then we only have one tumah here. We only have one shame tumah here. De shalosh ashaloshi, vikriya mehanya the betule shma mino. Tudu pashla ala mine. So Rashi is suggesting over here that there's only one tumah on this beged, and when you rip the beged, that is sufficient to get rid of the tumah here. We're not dealing here with multiple levels of tumah, we're dealing with single level of tumah, and the ripping of the talit is sufficient to remove that tumah over here, because you've taken away the function that was there at the time that the tumah came.
Why did Rashi have to say this here? We're not talking about those above. We're talking about type back.
Right, that would be if you had midras and not maga. So you have to come up a case that has midras but not maga, which is not so simple. Because it's my midras, almost by definition, has maga with it. Tosafot, back on Ayin Bet, comes up with these cases. That if he steps on a piece of wood that's on top, shute kliyetz, that's on top of the beged, then it could be, or sits on top of a piece of wood that's on the beged, then you can have tumat midras without tumat maga. Okay, you have tumat midras without tumat maga, because he's sitting on it with a shute kliyetz between him, so there's no maga, because shute kliyetz is a tahor. That separates between him and the beged, so there's no tumat maga, but his sitting on it creates midras. You don't have to contact it to have tumat midras, you just have to use it in a function of sitting. So he's sitting on the beged, but he's not touching it. So there you have midras without maga, and that would have what you're describing over here. It's a case where the talit is, if it's 3x3 tefachim, shlosha shlosha, and you tear it down, it could still be tamei tumat maga, mikana lava, but the tumat midras can be eliminated. You could have a case like that. That's what Tosfot talks about back on Ayin Bet Amud Bet. That's a Tosfot. I'm showing you that Tosfot over here says, Perish Rabbeinu Tam, Kevin Chenikra Ruba, Havia Torah Limafreya, which is very interesting. Rabbeinu Tam says, once you reach a robe, Limafreya, it becomes Tohor. It loses its tumat mafreya mitchilat kriya, from the moment that you started tearing it. It's not once you reach the point of ruba, that mikana lahaba, it's tahor. No, mamish, from that start of the tearing, once you hit the ruba, it goes, reverses back, and says, as soon as you start tearing, it was tahora. But lashon shehitchil lekora, mashma kepe rusho. That makes sense. The Mishnah uses the term of hitchil lekora, he began to tear it. Mashikash leperish akuntris, mefurash preparik behemakshet. So I'm not going to do it, but he says, what's the problem with the Rashi's explanation here? I dealt with back on Ayin Bet Amud Bet, Ayin Sham. I don't want to get deep into it, I'm just pointing it out to you so you can go back there and look at it. Along comes Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Baravua, Lo Shanu Elo Talit, Tvulat Yom. That's only true with a Talit that already was put in the mikveh, and you're just waiting for the sun to set. If you rip it, that takes away its tara. Demigo, delo chasala, v'atavlo, or atvlo, he wasn't so concerned about putting in the mikveh. Putting in the mikveh, putting it into water could ruin the beged. He wasn't worried about that, he put it in the mikveh. So there too, lo chasala v'karla ruba. Then we don't worry about him not tearing it onto the rove. The fear here is that in order to become tahor, it has to be torn until the rove. So we were going to institute a gzeira, which we're going to see in a second here, the next line in the Gemara, that he should have to rip the whole thing. In order to ensure that we have a rove here, we're going to make you rip the entire thing. Because what are we fearful of? We're fearful of if we say to you just to rip a rove, that person is going to be chas on the talit, he's going to rip it halfway. And say, I got a rove already, it's tahor, and then he's going to stitch it back up. Because he doesn't want to rip it all the way. He doesn't want to rip it. The more he rips it, the harder it is to fix. So he wants to stop. So we're afraid that because he is worried about ripping the talit, that he'll only rip it until a point that's not rove. So how do we ensure he does a rove? We say rip the whole thing. So that's true. What Rav Nachman comes in and says qualifies. He says, this gzeirah that I tell you to rip it all the way, it's only in a case where he didn't bring it to the mikveh yet. If you already put it in the mikveh, that means we know that he doesn't worry about the ruining of this beged, because he already put it in water. The fact that he put it in water that could ruin it, we already know that that means that when he rips it, he'll rip it up to the rove. But otherwise, aval, talich, in a tvulat yom, lo. That will not be the case. Gzeirah, duma lo ati l'mikra ruba. It's a gzeirah that maybe you won't rip a rove, therefore we force you to rip the whole thing. So we know for sure you got to the rove. That's how we know we've done that. I have two answers for you, Rav Nachman. Chado, shema yomru, tzvilat bat yoma, ola. Something along your lines, which is, what is the person going to say now? They see the person using the beged after they took it to the mikveh. What tzvilat yom requires? Harav Shemesh requires the sun to set. Now people see you using the beged after you put it in the mikveh. What are they going to say? It was tahor in the mikveh. So that's why it's already, you can use it, you don't have to wait till sunset. Va'od. On top of that, olau ta'ov, the Rabbi Elizabeth, Rabbi Shimon, the gazer, dilma lo ati, the meh bad rov shnayim. Rabbi Elizabeth, Rabbi Shimon has a din by olau ta'ov. We learned by Olato Of, you have to do Melika in the Mikdash. That Melika in Olato Of is different than Chatat Of. By Chatat Of, you only need one Siman. By Olato Of, you need two Simanim. Now, the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon. Chachamim say that by an Olah, you can sever the head. By Chatat, you're not allowed to be Lo Yavdil. But by an Olah, you can go all the way through if you want and sever the head entirely. Elazar Rabbi Shimon says, no, Lo Yavdil of the Chatat applies to the Olah as well. You can't take off the head, even of the Olah. That means you must do Rov Shnayim and not have the head come off. So now, according to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the Kohen is doing the Melika. What's he going to be scared of? He's going to be scared if he goes all the way through that he'll take the head off and it'll be in violation of Lo Yavdil. So what is he going to do? He's not going to really do Rov Shnayim. He won't do Rov Shnayim because he's afraid to go all the way. So we should demand of him to do both Simanim fully through, and then leave the head attached. The head can still be attached even after you've gone through the two simanim. So if that's the case, we should, according to your logic, Rav Nachman, you should force the person to do the total two simanim, because otherwise the guy's going to be scared to go through the rove. He'll hold back because he's afraid of popping the head off. So maybe he won't do rove shnayim because of the fear of popping it off. So therefore we should be gozer that he should do the whole thing. So Amar Leih Rabbi Yosef, the Kamart, Zeira Shem Yomru Tvila Batuma Ola. That which you said, Rabba, to argue in Rav Nachman, that's not a good case. That people are going to come to think that a Tvila Batuma is good enough. You don't have to wait for sunset. Kara Mochiach Aleh. This we have in many places. We have it in Moed Katam. We have it by Avelut. We have it by Moed, which is Chaluko Mochiach Aleh. That a person has to do laundry and only has one beged, his chaluko, mochiach alev, is a row. His belt is mochiach alev. It's clear that when he washes his beged with the belt, that he's not wearing any other clothing. He doesn't have any other piece of clothing. So do over here. When he rips it, everybody can see that he ripped it. They saw him put it in the mikvah, they also saw him rip it. So that should be enough. There's no reason to make the zera. The zera here is we're afraid that they won't go through with it. Kohanim is rizim. We don't worry about that by kohanim. So tashma, so our mishnah, hamashit bebehima ubechaya bitmeya utorah b'dakov b'gasal l'shtiach for a throw kidei achiza. So what's the after kidei achiza? Hayeter mikdei achiza tahor. More than a kidei achiza tahor. Amai ligzor dilma lo ati lemebad. Maybe he will only do a kidei achiza. He won't finish the flame. He won't take it off more than a kidei achiza. We're talking about a case here where it's behema tmeah, it's a nevela. He's in contact with the nevela. And we're saying you're tahor because the assumption being that he's going to go beyond the kidei achiza. So he says no. If we're talking about tuma do right, then you're right. He says, my gzeira only applies to tumot that are tumot min haTorah. By tumot derabanan, we're not going to be gozer. Wait a minute. So the Gemara says, there are two cases in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah said it's a case where he shechted a tahor, a behema Torah, and the behema is fine, and the adam is tameh. The other case was where he shechted a tmeah, the behema is in the vela, and the adam is tahor. So that's what the Gemara says, tinach. I can make sense of what you just said when we're talking about a tamei b'tahorah. When the animal itself is a kosher animal, you shechted it in the animal's tahorah. The person is tamei. A person can have tumah midrabanan. So over there you can talk about a tumah midrabanan coming into contact with the animal. But tahor b'tmeah, The case in the Mishnah talks about a tahor person who shechted a behemat meyah, and now it's a nevela, and they're flaying the behemat meyah. That's tuma d'oraita. That's a tuma d'oraita. What do you mean tuma d'rabbanon? He says, no. The tmeya that we're talking about here is a treifa. A treifa? That's exactly what shechita does for a treifa. What does shechita do for a treifa? It doesn't make it a kosher animal, but it's mitaheret midei nevela. So why should it happen? Treifa bat muyehi? Treifa doesn't have tumah. So why are you talking about that? In. No, there is a case where a treifa has tumah. Kedavua de Shmuel. Damar avua de Shmuel. We saw this earlier in the Masechta as well. The treifa sheshachta mitamah bemugdashim. A treifa in the hektesh. A treifa of hektesh is mitameh. And therefore we do have a tumah derabanan that is associated with a treifa. And not a tumah d'oraita, and that's what our mission is speaking about. When it says a tmeah here, it doesn't mean literally a non-kosher animal. It means a kosher animal that was found to be a treifa in the mukdashim, where it will give off tumah midrabanan. So our mission is a case of tumah d'rabanan. Tumah d'rabanan, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm not gozer in tumah d'rabanan. But when it comes to tumah d'oraita, when we're talking about the talit, there I'm going to be gozer. That's what the Gemara suggests as an answer for Rav Nachman. Tashma, Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda mishum Rabbi Shimon Omer. Habmafshit bishratzim. Someone who skins, flays any of the shmona shratzim. Chibur achi yafshitet kulo. That it's considered to be attached, the skin is considered to be ayad, until it's off entirely. That's because, as Rashi points out, it's very difficult. Einochim li afshit. Shratzim are not easy to flay to skin. Since it's a difficult process, we assume that it's considered attached until it's totally detached. Ha, what you can infer from this is, bigamal, which is a behemat tmeya, any chibur, that it's not considered attached till the end. Meaning that, here's a behemat tmeya, which would be a nevela, and it's not going to be considered attached all the way to the end. So according to you, Rav Nachman, here we're talking about tumah d'oraita, and the inference from this statement of Rabbi Dustai ben Yehuda is, that it would not be considered a chibur on a behemat tmeya of a nevela, on a tumah d'oraita. When it says, lo tema ha begamal eni chibur, don't make the inference from the statement of Dostai ben Yehuda mishum Rabbi Shimon, ela ema ba'or shalat zavar. We're talking about the skin on the neck, eno chibur. The skin around the neck of the animal is not considered a chibur. Ve'rab Yochanan ben Nurihi, and it's authored by Yochanan ben Nuri, who's in our Mishnah. Yochanan ben Nuri in our Mishnah says that the skin around the neck is not considered a chibur. So that's what you'll say. You'll say, by the shratzim. The skin on them is considered a chibur, even by the neck. All the way through, it's considered a chibur. That's not true by the gamal, that only until the chazeh, only until the chest, is it considered a chibur, if you're coming from the legs. But the neck is not considered to be a chibur. Even if the neck is still left, that's not considered to be a chibur. It's as if it's done the whole flaying, even though the neck skin remains, because of Yochanan ben Nuri. So why don't we say there, that where it goes there, like Rabbi Nachman says, by the beged, what are we afraid of? We're afraid that you're going to tear until a point, and then you won't go all the way. So we're afraid you won't reach the robe. How do we know? Where's there a defined end? If you rip the whole thing, we know you for sure got a robe. So why don't we say the same thing over here? He's pulling away the chemet from the gamal. He reaches the neck, but the neck's still there. The neck's still there. It's not clear that he made it all the way off. So that's what Rashi explains, that there's a difference. Because, v'hochal lekel migzar midei. Over there, there's no gzera. Dimolo ate le mebara tzavar. Because maybe he won't go all the way to the tzavar. The hekera tuva ika. That's a very clearly defined new section. Of an ben palga the ruba, between a half and a rove, lo mucha milta. There it's not clear where that defining line is. B'chein ben kedei achiza lefachot me b'kedei achiza. Between a kedei achiza and less than a kedei achiza, over there also, there's no clearly defined line where you can say, oh, this is a tevach, less than a tevach. There's no marking on the skin that's the end point. So therefore, Rav Nachman is going to be goes there in cases where there's no defined or clear line. So in a case where he's being mafshit, until if he does it from the bottom, the legs of the gamal all the way down, until he reaches the neck, where there's a clearly defined point, we're not going to consider it to be off. It's not off because we're afraid that he may not take it off. You have to do the whole thing until he takes it off. By a baguette, until you rip the whole thing, we're not going to consider it to be robe for tahara, because we're afraid you won't go all the way through. But when you have a clearly defined line, but there's a point where you can see it, and you can know that you reached it, over there we're not going to be gozer, and that's the neckline. Neckline, you don't have to go through the skin of the neck, because once you reach the neck, you know you've reached the neck. It's not like you have a question whether you've reached the neck or not, and therefore we don't worry about it anymore, because that's a clearly defined line, and we're not gozer, he has to go all the way through the neck to be sure that he gets everything off. Because once he reaches the neck, he knows he's reached the neck. So therefore there'll be a difference in Rav Nachman's gzeira depending on whether you reach a clearly defined line or not. Kdei achiza will be the same thing. G'day Achiza, between G'day Achiza and less than G'day Achiza, can't tell. We can't tell where that line is. You can't see. There's no marking. There's a tefach tfachayim. There's no marking on the animal where that tefach is. So because of that, we're going to demand that you take the whole thing off before it's tahor. It remains tameh until the final, until everything is taken off. That would be the position of Rav Nachman, but differentiating between cases and why some we make a demand that you go all the way. In other cases, we say that if you have a clearly defined line, that's enough to stop at. So I'm Rav Huna, Rav Mishum, Rav Shim, Rav Yossi. Lo shanu elish lo shirba kedei ma'oferet. That's only true when you rip the talit. He's doing another. Rav Nachman gave us one qualification of that Mishnah in Kelim. Now we have another qualification from Rav Huna, Mishum, Rav Shim, Rav Yossi. Lo shanu elish lo shirba kedei ma'oferet. That's only if he didn't leave in the talit enough to make an apron out of it. Aval shirba kedei ma'oferet chibur. So that's considered to be a chibur. So when we say that a rove is considered to be tahor, that's only when in the remaining miut that you left behind, the minority of the beggar that's still attached, that you left behind, there isn't a full formed beggar. There's not a full apron that's left behind. But if there's an apron worth left behind, over there we're going to say, that is considered to be tamei adayin because the beged can still function as the original beged because a malferet, a sudar, this apron, is not losing the function of the talit as something that you wrap yourself in, something that you wear, and therefore it will not be tahor until you rip it past that point. All right, so now we have a machlokas here. Amar Reish Lakish, lo shanu elo talit. Reish Lakish says that that Mishnah in Kelim only refers to talit. A wool beged, aval or chalim. But when it comes to skin, skin is very firm, and therefore you can put it back together. You could stitch it back up, and therefore, even if you do the rove, if you rip a beged of leather, even if you get to the rove, that's not enough, you have to rip it entirely. So Rabbi Yochanan says, now, even skin is not considered firm enough, and if you rip the rove, you won't stitch it up well, it won't hold back together well. Rabbi Yochanan, the Reish Lakish. Yochanan challenged Reish Lakish's position. Or, tamei midrash. You have a skin, a piece of leather, that is tamei midrash. The minimum shiur for skin to have tamut midras is 5 by 5 tvachim. If it's bigger than 5 by 5 tvachim, it can be mekabel tumat midras. If you reduce it below 5 by 5 tvachim, then it no longer has tumat midras. So now you have leather here that has tamei tumat midras. Chishev alav liritzuot v'sandalim. He's going to use it for leather straps or for sandals. So you know he's going to reduce it now below 5 by 5 tvachim. Kev mentioned natan bo izemel. As soon as you put the razor to it to cut it, tahor, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'chachamim amrim, ad shimatenu mechameshat tfachim. Until he reduces it below 5 tfachim, it still has tumat midras. You have to get it. You have to cut it to the point where there's less than 5 by 5 in any piece. Now when you start cutting it. So, ki mimayit le, miu tahor. Amai. So why when he's mimayit it less than 5 by 5 tfachim, is it tahor? Lema chalim. Let's say that it's very firm and it can stitch it back together. When do we say that it's chalim, it's firm and you can put it back together? That's only where he cut it down a clear cut. He makes a clear cut, whether it's on the horizontal or the vertical, he makes a clear cut down, then we assume he can stitch it back together. Our case over here, where we're talking about in this Mishnah in Kelim, is a case that b'mekatzeilo derech svivotav. He's trimming it around the edges. He's breaking it less than 5 by 5 tvachim by trimming it around the edges. It's not that he made a clear slice down the middle, and that's what reduced it over here. If he did that, ain't no kanami, you could stitch it back together, and you could put it back together, and therefore the tumah would not go away. But the case over here is where he sliced off the edges and made it less than 5 by 5 tvachim. Over there, that's not considered chalim. That you can't stitch back together. That you can't put the edge back on. So there we assume it's done and it cannot be reversed. Okay, Meitiv Rabbi Yirmiya. Another question. Mafshit, our Mishnah, mafshit bebeima b'chaya b'torah, b'tzmeya, b'taka, b'kasa, b'shtiach, k'dei achiza. Ha, you have to make k'dei achiza tohor. It's more than a k'dei achiza, it's tohor. V'amai, lema chalim. Let's say that you can stitch, it's firm. The skin is firm, and you could stitch it back up, you can put it back together. So, Targama Rabbi Avin, Rishon, Osin Nipul. No. You have to understand here, you're talking about a different case. Because as you rip it, you are removing it from the behemah. It's different than a beged. A leather beged, when you rip it, you could stitch it back up and return its functionality. Over here, when you're flaying an animal, Rishon Rishon, as you remove it, Osini pull. It pulls away from the animal. You can't reattach it to the animal. Once you flay, begin the flaying process, you can't put the skin back on the basar. So stitching it up, fine, you can stitch it up, but that doesn't return it to its previous state. Osini pull means it falls away from the behemah. It's removed, it's detached from the behemah. You can't reattach it to the behemah. You're talking about a live object that once you pull it away, that you can't return it. When you're talking about an inanimate object, you can talk about stitching it back up, and if it uses the same function. When you're talking about an animal, even though it's dead now, but once you remove the skin doesn't grow back when you put it back onto the basar. And that's what it means, Rishon Rishon Ose Nipul. Meiti Rav Yosef, or Shalat Savar. The skin that's on the neck, Rav Yochanan Ben Uriah, Enu Chibur. That's not considered a Chibur. Amai, Hai Chalim, it's firm. It's firm on there. Why isn't it considered to be a chibur to the remainder of the skin? Vikoi, chalim vikoi. It's firm and it stays there. Samar Abaye, Ema Seifa. Abaye says, Vektum, why are you asking a question based on that? What about the Seifa? You have the Chachamim on me. Chibur, it is a chibur. So what are you asking from the Yogam and Anuri that it's not considered a chibur? As the Chachamim support Reish Lakish's position, that it is considered a chibur. Elam Rabaye, what's the machloket between Rabbi Yochanan and Benuri and the Chachamim in our Mishnah? B'shomer, ha'suidlinat take me'elav kamiflege. They're arguing about a case where it's a shomer, because the skin on the neck is protecting the basar that's on the neck. But it's something that shenitak me'elav, that will fall away by itself, kamiflege. Marzavi have a shomer, that until it actually falls away, until it's removed, it is classified as a shomer. The Rabbi Yochanan Minuri says, no, since in the end it will fall away by itself, it will not need any assistance in falling away. Therefore, it's classified as being as if it's not there. It's not considered a chibur anymore. And therefore, if you're mafshit the animal to the point of the tzavar is not me'akev. It's not holding on anymore. It's not considered to be that the skin, the or, is attached to the behemah anymore. I'll stop over here.